chapter number 18, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, and one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Let's have a word of prayer together, and then we'll get into the message. Our Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have. And we're reminded that it's a blood-bought privilege that we have to pray. Because through your blood, through the salvation that you provide, Lord, we are your children. And as your children, we have access to you. And we can come to you calling you our Father and lay our requests before you and know that as a father loves his children and desires to help, to meet the need, to provide. Lord, we know that you, Lord, in a greater way, desire to do that. And you do answer our prayers. We thank you for that. And Father, we ask you now to help us with the message. I pray for your Spirit's help to preach. And I pray, Lord, you bless the hearer and give us hearts to obey and to apply. And just have your way, Lord, in every heart here, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest privileges, I think you would agree, as a Christian we have, is the privilege that we have to pray. Paul said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. And one of those spiritual weapons, if you will, that we have is prayer. Prayer is a means of victory for the Christian in our spiritual struggle, if I can put it that way. You know, we all wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but against principalities and powers, and we struggle in our Christian walk, and certainly prayer is a weapon. Prayer is a means, a tool to give us grace and victory and strength and wisdom and so forth. It's a resource that we have to be able to come before our Father and to be able to request and ask, and we know that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, as the song in the Bible says. And somebody said, you know, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills as well. And in that little children's song, it says he owns the wealth in every mine. We know that the resources of God are limitless, infinite. They're never depleted. They're never exhausted. And so, you know, those things just tell us that prayer is, it's the means of obtaining what we need in life as a Christian. That we can come to God in prayer. And we can know that the Father cares, that He loves us. And so prayer is such a blessed thing. It's a blessed thing for the Christian to be able to pray, to know that we have the ear of God. And we have, of course, in the Bible, God's exhortation, His encouragement to pray. His promises are there. Many, many places in the Bible, God, you know, tells us. He exhorts us to pray. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And He, over and over and over again, continually, through the Word of God, He encourages us that we can pray, that He says to come boldly before the throne of grace, and we'll find help and grace in time of need. And so we have, you know, the encouragement of God to pray. We have the invitation of God to pray. We have the promises of prayer, and we have the comfort that we find in prayer. All of those things are true, and yet I think if I was to take a poll, a survey, here this morning, and I'm not going to make you raise your hand. I'm not going to have you, you know, confess this, because I think it's true that we would all say that if we were to ask the question, do I believe or do I feel that I should pray more than I do? Probably all of us would say, yeah, I feel that way, that I ought to pray more than I do. If I was to say, how many feel as though your prayer life is not what it ought to be? It's not that impressive as far as, you know, if I take a look at my prayer life, how much I pray, the definite, direct answers to my prayers, it's not all that impressive. And not that we're doing it to impress people. I'm just saying, if you're looking internally, as we look internally at ourselves, I think we would all, probably most of us at least, would raise our hand to those kind of questions. And so why is it that we don't pray as we ought to? Why is it that we faint sometimes? And this is what Jesus was telling these parables for. As you know, back at verse number 1, he says that he tells it for this purpose. This was the end. This was the goal that he had in mind, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And just that statement right there kind of says to us that it's a fact of the matter that men do faint. They faint. In other words, they give up. They don't continue on persisting in prayer. They don't pray through. They don't. We often don't bring things to God in prayer and really staying there in that place of prayer, or coming continuously to receive from God what we can receive in prayer. We give up. We just pray once, or we just sort of pray very lightly about it, flippantly about it, or half-heartedly about it, and then we just drop it there. That's a common thing with Christian people. And that's why Jesus is addressing it here. He's addressing that problem. Why we faint, I guess, is the question. In these parables, there's two of them, I find in it at least three reasons I want to share with you this morning, and see if they apply to you, or see where they touch your heart at, and perhaps understanding that, we can then allow God to help us through them. So what is the reasons why we faint? Well, he tells a parable. Now, a parable is a story. It's a natural narrative, a story, you know, of natural, just an everyday thing. But it has spiritual application, right? That's what a parable is. It's an illustrative story. It's a story about a natural event or a thing or people, and in it there is a spiritual teaching, a spiritual truth. That's what a parable is. And Jesus used parables when he taught in his teaching ministry. And this parable tells about a widow who sought action from a judge. to rule on her behalf. And she came before the judge with a, she apparently had some something done wrong, some wrong to her, and she needed avenged. She needed the judgment to rule in her favor against her adversary. And the problem was, the judge, the Bible says, feared not God nor regarded man. The problem was, the judge really did not care, could care less about her plight. He wasn't concerned about her situation. He wasn't, he heard her complaint, but was not interested in the whole case. And so, it was like he just kept calling a recess. You know, courts adjourn, we'll decide some other day. And so she was not getting the help that she needed from the judge. And so she keeps coming back, and she keeps coming back, and this judge, he had the authority as the judge to rule. He had the weight of the law behind him, and that's why she went to him, right? She went to him because he was the authority. He was the one with the responsibility to see that justice was done. But unfortunately, he regarded not man, and he didn't fear God, which basically is to say that he had this power invested in him from powers on high. He was a judge. He was commissioned to make these kind of judgments, to see justice prevail, to rule in favor of those who were in the right. And yet he didn't care. He wasn't responsible to do that. He wasn't taking his responsibility, the authority given to him, he wasn't taking it seriously. And so she was, kind of at an impasse here. But yet she continued to come. She continued to press the matter. She had nowhere else to turn, so she pressed the judge and pressed the judge until finally, we come to verse 4 and 5 where he says, after a while, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And so we see she shows up all the time. She keeps bringing it before him. She's constantly coming. And finally, this unjust judge says, if I don't settle the matter, I'm never going to get any rest. I won't have any peace until her matter's settled. And so he does. Now, that's the parable, the story. And as I say, it has a spiritual teaching. Sometimes parables are given and we're kind of left a little bit wondering what is the message in that? What is the teaching that Jesus is conveying here? But here we're not left to wonder. It was actually stated before the story, is that he's teaching this to illustrate how men ought always to pray, how we should not faint in prayer, and how we should continuously and persistently pray. And as I said a moment ago, I find in this parable, at least in this one, I find at least two reasons why we don't persist in prayer. And then in the last parable we'll look at in a moment, in verses 9 to 14, there's one other reason. But what are the reasons, well, that we see in here that we can learn from this parable? I wrote them down this way, and I'll explain them. Number one, I put down a lack of conviction about my request. Sometimes we faint in prayer. We don't follow through. We don't pray with persistency. We don't pray with fervency because of our lack of conviction about the request. In other words, the judge, now he had a lack of conviction about his responsibility to help and to answer. But the widow, now let me just sort of lay this out for you. In the parable, the judge is compared to God. All right. Now he was unjust, the judge was, God's not. And we'll get to that in a moment. But you see, the judge is the one who could answer. The judge was the one who could rule in her favor. He was the one being sought for help. It corresponds to God. The widow corresponds to us. the one seeking help in prayer, right? And so the widow, now she had no lack of conviction that her request was right and that her request was needed. So because she knew that she was in the right, she really believed that her case, that what she was bringing before him was the right, justice would side with her. Do you understand that statement? You follow that? She believed in her request. She was convicted that this is the right thing, that the justice demands this answer. And it should be in the will of the judge. It ought to be the will of justice to rule in the favor of her request. And therefore, she could approach it boldly. She could come and press the matter and press the matter because she was convinced that her case was true. And that the judge, if he was a good judge, he would want to, he would desire to rule in her favor. And here's how the lesson we can learn in prayer is that when we come to God in prayer with a request, I think a lot of times we lack any conviction about the request. Is it a request legitimate to ask? Is it a legitimate request? And the fact is, we're going to learn more about God in a few moments, but you know, God invites us to come about all matters. If it's not, now there are, he mentions this in James, he says, you have not because you ask not, and you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your lust. So in other words, there is times when if we judge our heart in our request, if we say, well, we're just praying this because, you know, we're praying for a Cadillac, or we're praying for $1 million, or we're praying for some, you know, something that just is for our own, what do I want to call it, just something, you know, that's a luxury and really is, you know, that kind of thing. All right, we wouldn't have much conviction about pressing God for that, would we? But if it's a matter that, you know, this is truly a need, this is truly something that we need God to act in this, and it doesn't have to be cancer or salvation. Those are big things. Those are good things. But, you know, there can be smaller personal things. In other words, I'm just saying God invites us to ask about personal things, small things, daily things. He said to ask for your daily bread. And so if it's a legitimate request, if it's something that is worth asking, then we have the right given to us by God to come and press the matter. And to have conviction that this is, yes, a request, and yes, we believe in our Father that God would want this and that it's within His will. It doesn't contradict or violate something in the Scripture. It's not frivolous luxuries upon ourselves. It's something that we can press before the Lord and say, this is a true need. And we can come, excuse me, oh boy, we can come with conviction. We can come with that. And we, you know, we should. We should pray in that way. But I find so many times we just, I mean, it's a real need. It truly is a legitimate request, but we're so, I don't know, apathetic about it. Lord, you know, if it's your will and, you know, this person really wants it, but if you get around to it, maybe you could do this. I mean, we wouldn't maybe say those words, but that's sort of the hard attitude of a lot of our prayers. Is it, Lord, you know, I don't know, could you do this? If not, that's okay, you know, whatever. We'll muddle on without it. I mean, that's sort of the attitude of some people when we pray. But this lady was not going to faint because she saw that the need was really a need. Now, it doesn't tell us what she wanted avenged. It doesn't say how big or how small or what the matter was, but she had conviction that it really was a legitimate request and it needed ruling on. And so we need to, you know, sometimes we are emotional people, some more than others. But, you know, I almost hesitate to use the illustration, but it's the one that's on everybody's mind pretty much, is that, you know, you all heard the news, and it was mentioned lots this week about the Syrian refugee situation and the people that drowned and so forth, and that was very sad. It truly was a legitimate item where it you know, people's hearts should be touched by it. But sometimes we're emotional like that. You know, we this happens, and we emotionally respond, but our emotions quickly die out, right? You know, in another week, they won't be on the news anymore, and you'll forget about it, and you don't even think about it anymore. And a lot of times we pray like that. You hear of a request, and you go, "Oh man, that is, I'm going to pray for that," and we get emotionally caught up in it. We pray for a day, 2 days, and then we forget. We gotta, I think, separate our emotional response from what is truly a need. If it's truly a need, whether it moves my heart or not at the time, I have to see it that, hey, this is something that we need God to answer. And not just be, you know, in the emotional moment praying for it and then forgetting about it. That's why prayer lists are good. When it's on the list, and every time I come back to it, every time I see it, I recognize that, hey, this is something that I'm not just, you know, flippantly, apathetically reading my list, but it's really a matter where we really need God to act in this need. So the lack of conviction about the request, I think, is one of the reasons why we faint. Now, this lady did not have any lack of conviction, but we often do. And then she, not only that, she believed that the judge was the only one to help. Her conviction was not only that her request was right, but that the judge was the one who needed to make the ruling. She wasn't going to take matters into her own hands. She wasn't going to go to her family or call the mafia or, you know, find somebody to take a ruling on this. She was going to the legitimate appointed source to get the right answer, because only then would it be the right answer and it would be permanently dealt with. I mean, if she had gone and tried to deal with herself or you know, got family help or went to the bank or other means, you know, we might have been able to come up with a solution. But she went to the, she said, no, it's a legal matter. It's a justice matter. And the judge is the right one to answer it. And so she went to him. And when we come before God and we have a conviction that this is a request that is needed, this is a legitimate case, and God, you're the one, you're the only one that really has the right to answer this. You're the one we look to. You're the one we need to move in this matter. That's when we pray without fainting. Because we don't, you know, there's not a, well, if God doesn't answer it, you know, we have plan B back here. She didn't have a plan B. She said, I need you to rule. You're the one who is appointed to do this. And the judge must make the ruling. And when we come with a request before God, we have to come with a conviction that it's a legitimate and a good request, and the conviction that, God, you must answer this. It's, Lord, it's you. You're our Father. You're the one we look to. We don't have the means. We don't have the resources. We don't have the ability to do it ourselves. And so we look to you. And so, number one, I think we faint because of a lack of conviction about the request. And then secondly, we faint sometimes because of a lack of confidence in God. Now, follow this. Down in verse 5, we saw that the judge says, you know, I'm going to rule for her because if I don't, she'll never leave me alone. But then he says, verse 6, now here's the comparison. The Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man, this is interesting that he puts this question on the end of it, will the Son of Man, when he cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And what does that mean? It means, will he find people with faith who believe and pray and seek God? Now, you get the comparison, right? The judge was unjust. The judge feared not God, didn't regard man. He could care less. He only answered to get peace. That's the only reason he answered. So she'll leave me alone. Now, God is not like that, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, if her persistence prevailed with such a judge, how much more would you prevail with a loving Heavenly Father, a willing God, if you persist in prayer? That's really the meat of that whole story. The crux of what he's teaching is, if she could prevail with this kind of a person, don't you think you could prevail with God? And the comparison there is, sometimes we lack the confidence that God, sometimes we may lack confidence that he can, but I don't think that's most of the time the case. Most of us would say God can. We're less confident that he will, right? It's not that he can, but that he's willing. And what Jesus is trying to help us to see here is that, yes, God is willing to answer prayer. And if we press him and we persist with him, we show faith in him, we say, Lord, we're looking to you. You're the only one. We don't have anywhere else to turn. God, you're the one that must answer. God bears long sometimes, but he will, and he does answer. That's the point of this story, is to show us. And let's be honest. As I say, we oftentimes believe, and if God doesn't immediately answer our prayer, we think, obviously he doesn't care, or he is not willing. No, God's not like the unjust judge. God does care. God does desire to answer prayer. Let me have you just hold your finger, turn back just a couple pages to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. If the Son of Man shall ask bread of any of you, let me read that again, not the Son of Man. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Now there's a question, what's the answer? If you're a dad here today and your son says, can I have a piece of bread, would you give him a stone? Say, here's a piece, and you hand him a stone. Well, the obvious answer is no, we wouldn't do that. All right? And then he says, or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Will he give him something that looks like a fish, but it's not really a fish, it's a snake? Will he give him something that looks like bread, but it's actually a rock? Would he trick him that way? Would he do that? Would you do that as a dad? No. Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And of course, the obvious answer to all those questions is no. And in verse 13, he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, thank you, Joshua, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And the point of that, and that's repeated in other gospel accounts, but the point of that is, if a father knows how to give good gifts, and he says, you being evil, we're not on the same level with God, we're sinners, we're more selfish than God. If we, being evil, will give to our children when they ask, do you not think that your heavenly Father, as a father, loves you and wants to give, wants to help, wants to provide? And of course he does. It's his good pleasure. He desires to answer our prayer. He wants to have us come. He invites us to come and ask. He desires for us to ask, not so that he can deny us. He wants us to ask so he can grant answer to prayer. Proverbs 15:8 says this, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." So there's an encouragement here to pray. I hope you will be encouraged. We faint because of a lack of conviction about our request. We faint because of a lack of confidence in the willingness of God. And then last of all, back to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, we won't reread it, but you remember they told the parable to those who trusted in themselves about the Pharisee and the publican that went up to pray. One prayed, you know, and really he didn't, he said he prayed, but he didn't ask for anything. All he did was brag about himself. And then the publican said, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." What's the other reason we don't, what's the other reason we faint in prayer? I wrote it down this way, an overconfidence in self. Sometimes we faint because, you know, we're too confident in our own ability. We don't need God. Lord, if you want to answer this, go ahead. If not, you know, I'll handle it myself. That's the way the Pharisee was. The Pharisee was very self-sufficient, very self-righteous. But the publican was the opposite. He said, "Oh Lord, if you don't, you know, be merciful, then I'm doomed." And the reason why we faint, I won't take a long time with this point, but we faint because of lack of conviction of our requests, because of lack of confidence in God, and then sometimes because of an overconfidence, we can handle it. You know, this is a need, this is a problem in my life, but rather than going to God, we'll figure it out, we'll work it out. We'll do something. When God says, "Hey, I'm your Father, how about come and ask?" And so he told these parables to the end that men ought to pray and not to faint. My question this morning is, do you faint in the face of prayer? And if you do, perhaps it's because of these reasons. And I hope that the Lord will help us to have more confidence in our Father, less confidence in ourselves, and that we'll go and we'll even come and press the matter before him so that we might see God move in action to our prayer. Because that's what the Lord wants. That's what glorifies him, when we see God moving, direct answer to definite prayer. Not praying such general things that you never even would know if he answered it or not. You know, "Lord, bless the world." Well, how do you, what does that mean? You know, to ask, God says to ask specific, definite needs and watch him answer definite and specifically, that he might be glorified and that we might have a growing relationship with him. We have a little bit of a different format today because of the baptism. We don't have Chris here to lead the singing. So the invitation is just going to be right now. If you feel as though God's touched your heart, you need some time to spend with him, then we're going to have a word of prayer. And I just say to you right now, go ahead and if you want to come to the altar, come now. If you need to kneel where you are or pray, if God's working in your heart, if you have something that you need the Lord to work with, if you're here this morning, just listen to this, I'm closing right now. If you're here this morning and you're not sure about your salvation, if you're not certain that you've been born again, that if you were to die today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. If that's still a question mark in your mind, then I would invite you to come and talk to me after the service wraps up this morning. If you need somebody to show you in the Bible how to know, how can I know that I'm going to heaven? How can I know that I'm born again? The Bible tells us, and we can help that. But maybe you already know, you just need to pray and ask Christ, and you receive him as your Savior. Whatever your need is, I want to what I'm trying to say is respond. God is given us a message, now we respond to it. Let's stand.